Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Jesus is about to make an entrance, and you're the gates. Jesus is about to make an entrance on the earth. In a way, before he comes, he's going to come, okay? Before he returns, he's going to return. And what I mean is this. I'm seeing a picture of Jesus standing forth on the mountain of God, and his brightness is growing brighter. And as it does, people will see only him. They won't see the messengers, they won't see so much the body. They begin to see more and more Jesus. He's going to show himself in a way where his glory is going to be seen. And I believe he's going to reveal himself in ways that we have not seen him. We've heard about it. And we've heard about it. We've desired it. But in this time, I sense he's standing forth in a way where this time his glory will not be shared. It will be all eyes on him. All eyes on him. All glory on him. And this will be before his physical return. You know, they used to say it this way, before he comes for his church, he will come through his church. But what I'm seeing is he's presenting himself. He's going to present himself to humanity in a way where they can see him without all the jargon, without all the religious glop and all the self-seeking. There's been way too much over the centuries, way too much self-seeking in the church. People have made his name great, but they kind of made theirs great at the same time. But this day won't be that way. He will use people, of course, make no mistake, but he's going to do it in a way where all eyes will be on him. And because of it, it'll cut through all the religious glop that people couldn't stand. Some of the things that kept people away from Christ will be cut away, right? God is actually doing some surgery right now in the church. And he's cutting away some things that really shouldn't have been added. Okay? He's doing it lovely. You know, he's a loving surgeon. But gently and beautifully, he's slicing away some things that really should have never been added to the church. Things that Satan tried to sow in that caused others to say, you know, I don't really want that. Some people reject Christ, but really what they're rejecting is wrong stuff that they heard from, you know, centuries of junk preaching. So they see God through these filters that aren't true. So the filters are being cut away. And some people will not be able to handle it. In the church, some people will have a hard time if their filters get cut. Uh-oh. But now's the time when Jesus says it's going to be where he will reveal who he is to those who've never seen him, never heard him, never known him. And because of it, we will see people saved who are absolutely clueless about Jesus, have never heard a scripture in their life, have never set foot in a church, were not raised up to know any form of religion, except maybe some completely other religion. But because of it, they're going to get to see Jesus in his true presence. And they're going to say, why didn't somebody tell me about this? Why didn't somebody tell me about his glory? Why didn't somebody tell me about his power? The truth is, people were speaking it, but the words were empty. Have you ever heard somebody preach a good sermon, but it had no power? Truth, but no juice. And what's happened is someone went in and spent time with God and got some stuff from heaven, and preached it under the fire, right? Under the power of the Holy Spirit. And then about 1,000 people said, that's a good message, I will preach that. But they didn't go in for the Jews. So they taught the same stuff, but it didn't have the power, it didn't have the same impact, right? Because the only way to have the impact of heaven is to get it from heaven. So in this day, a lot of stuff is being boiled down. Jesus is going to sort of undilute, for lack of a better word. Things have been too diluted. He is going to serve full strength some things in this day. And it'll be shocking. Some of the church won't even like it. They'll say, oh, that's too strong for me. That's too strong for me. I don't like that. So there will actually be people in the church who will reject what Jesus does. This is not new. It happened in his day. Oh, that's too strong for me. Remember when he talked about eat my flesh and drink my blood, and a whole bunch of people left. Ooh, that's too strong for me. You know, what are you, a madman? Talking about cannibalism. And think, in the Jewish religion, how that must have been, that must have seemed crazy to them. Who stayed? The ones who knew him by relationship. They didn't get it either, but they knew him. Listen, he's about to do it again. The ones who say, listen, I don't know, Jesus, I'm not that smart. I don't know what you're talking about, but I know you. He said, he turned to them and he said, are you going to leave too? Peter said, well, who are we going to go to? You're the one with the words of eternal life. You're the one. We're not that smart either. We really don't get it, but hey, we know you. We know you're the real thing, and we're going to follow you no matter what you say. They held on by heart relationship. See, it's better to know him than to know a bunch of stuff. And so what happens is eventually, if you just keep following him, who really understands all the depths of God? None of us. But as we follow him, because our heart knows, our mind doesn't know, but our heart knows him. We say, I really don't get everything, but I know this. You're God, Jesus. You are the one. You're the one. And I'm going to follow you, and I'm going to keep following you. And eventually, here's what happens. We will get the spirit of wisdom and revelation on those things we didn't understand until we can deliver those goods. Until we can deliver the goods from heaven. Jesus is calling us to come up on that same mountain that Moses went up. Do you remember that Moses went up? It says that Moses drew near, but the people, they drew back. They were kind of scared, and with good reason. With good reason, the mountain was shaking. And there was lightning and thunder, and it was terrifying. But Moses drew near. God is calling his children this time to come up that mountain. And we're going to come as little kids, not know-it-alls, not great doctrinal geniuses. No doctrinal geniuses will probably be allowed unless they have the heart of a child. You can, if you have the heart of a child, then you can be a doctrinal genius. You'll probably get to come. But if all you have is head knowledge, you ain't coming. Because it's those with a heart to follow Jesus wherever he goes. They are going to come up this mountain and they're going to dwell in the mountain of God where Moses was transformed. Moses probably didn't even realize how much he was transformed. He probably didn't know his face shone. He probably felt a strong, heavy, weighty presence. You know, there's a weight of the glory in the presence. You go deep enough, it's almost like it lays on you like a heavy blanket. And at times you think, I don't know if I can get up. But what God desires is for a people who will grow acclimated to the weight of his glory. Who will spend time in the presence until the presence is normal. And then they go further. And then they spend time there until that grows normal. right? What usually has happened in the past, thank God it has happened in the past. We've had revivals where people came into the presence and got drunk, and it was, you know, in the spirit, right? Hopefully y'all understand that, Acts 2. You know, these men are not drunk as you suppose, but they're filled with the Holy Ghost, so it might act a little strange. And that happened in past moves of God where people were, you know, walking funny and talking funny and, you know, doing the the jerk, you know, got the jerks, Holy Ghost jerks. But what happened to a lot of people is they got all into the manifestations, and it eventually lifted because the manifestation became the thing. And it was like little kids playing, and that's not wrong. God loves his children. But now God is saying, okay, come in until you come to that place where it seems like too much and stay there until you grow accustomed. Until you can't feel that anymore. But it doesn't mean you can't feel it because you left. It means you are used to carrying that weight. And you get to where you can stand up under that presence, where that's normal to you. Normal. Then you come up further. And then a little more, and then a little more, because what I'm looking for is a people who will carry me to the nations. I'm looking for a people who will serve as a gateway that I can speak through them, talk through them, shine through them, like I shone through Moses. The light of my glory shone through Moses' face so brightly that he had to put a veil, or people wouldn't be able to handle it. People couldn't handle it. Now, it will manifest in different ways through different people. That's the glory of it. Some people, it will manifest with great healings. Some people, it will manifest with great numbers of salvations. Some people, it will manifest with words of such accuracy that everyone will know it was God. Everyone will shine in a different way. But come and find me, says the Lord. Come and find me on my mountain. People say, oh God, come to us. Come and visit us. I did. Now I'm saying to you, come to me on the mountain of God. Approach the mountain. If you don't know how, ask me for grace. I will help you. I will send help to you. And do not fear. I wouldn't invite you if I was mad at you. I'm inviting you because I want you to come. Come to whatever level you can, and then I will help you further. And when you get used to that, I will help you further. And when you get used to that, I will help you further. And all along the way, I will teach you through my word, through my scriptures, so that you understand what's happening to you. And to those who will not give up or be distracted, right now there is such a distraction. Satan knows what's going on. He knows what's going on in the realm of the spirit. And he's issuing calls of every kind of distraction so that my people are pulled away. Distractions, sometimes so minor, but it's enough to keep him out. As he knows, if he can keep him out, this season will not last forever. This is a season, it's but a season. And when it closes, it's closed. But during this season, there is an open invitation to those that will. To those that dare. It doesn't matter if you know how. Say, Lord, give me the grace to come up the mountain. Give me the grace. I don't even know how to seek you properly. Teach me. Bring me up higher and teach me how to live in your presence and in the word. Teach me how to live in him. In him we live and move and have our being. Teach me how to live with God. And show me how to take care of the things that still have to be taken care of in the earth. And God says, if you will seek me, you will find me. And I will transform you. Is that not what you've really desired, to be transformed? Some of you have cried out for years, some of you. to be transformed, to be changed. Some of you have even said, change me to be like Jesus. That's what I'm trying to do. The closer you come in, the more you will change, because my presence, by its very nature, delivers you. My presence, by its very nature, heals you. My presence, by its very nature, gives you wisdom and revelation. So the closer you climb to me, the more healed you are, the more set free you are, the more wisdom you walk in, the more you understand the scriptures that you read. Someone who's away from the mountain and reads the scriptures may have some head knowledge, but I'm telling you, when you come up higher in the realms of God, the spirit of wisdom and revelation is there. And suddenly you see scriptures that you've maybe known all your life, and all of a sudden you understand them in a way you never understood them before. It's not because you got smarter. It's because you're living in a realm where revelation is. God's trying to bring us up to places where we operate the way he operates. And he's trying to train us to grow acclimated to it. Because at first, I'll tell you the truth, the first time you feel the weight of his presence, you might... I remember days when his presence would come on me, and after a while, I'd be like, oh, I love you and I want more, but this is almost too much. I got to pull out for a while. It was almost too much. But see, now that doesn't happen anymore. And see, God wants a people that are not afraid to carry him into the marketplace. And I don't mean just carry the truth about him. I mean carry him. Listen, Jesus rode into town on the foal of a donkey. Not just a donkey, the foal, the colt. Jesus is looking for somebody to ride into town on. And it's not about the donkey. It's not people saying, oh, look how great, look how anointed that donkey is. No. It's about people saying, look at that king. Somebody get me some palm leaves. Somebody get me something I can lay before him. If they didn't have palm leaves, they threw their garments down in the road that the little donkey could walk on them. I'm telling you, this is a different day. And God is looking to do some transformation in his people. And there are many. This is like, God's been telling me, this is like Gideon's army, where many, many are too busy, too busy, too busy, or they don't fit, and God's saying, okay, not you. Remember the parable? The master of the feast, he sent a servant out to go invite the people, and they said, oh, you know what, I just got some new teams of oxen, I got to pay attention to my oxen, you know. Well, I got this other thing going on, I got to do this other thing. Disqualified. It has not always been this way. This is the season we're in right now. There are people right now who are born again and love Jesus, but they're missing the day of their visitation. That's what he said. That's what he said, that the Pharisees had missed the day of their visitation. He passed right in front of them, and they missed it. He walked right in front of them, went into the temple and taught right in front of them. I couldn't even see who he was. Oh, I got to go take care of my oxen. See, it's like Gideon's army. The crowd's going to be pretty small. But there is a remnant. And I can't pretend I understand the fullness of this. I'm just telling you what he's been telling me. That in this day, he is calling a remnant all over the world. There are people who've been hidden ones who have put God first and said, I'm not anybody, but I'm putting Jesus first. And they will be part of that remnant. They will be part of carrying Jesus into town. And he will be seen as the one and only. I tell you, some of these earthquakes in the natural are just pictures of what's going on in the spirit. There's all kinds of quaking and shaking going on in the spirit because God is shaking the thrones. He's shaking dominions. He's shaking them. He's shaking them. He's shaking their thrones, and some of their thrones are going to just tumble. They're not going to know what hit them. I'm telling the truth. And he will set up angels on the thrones that devils used to have. People like to talk about territorial principalities. Let me tell you something. It is entirely possible for God to set one down and put up another. Not just in the natural, but in the spirit. I've seen it. I've seen him take out a bad guy and put in a good guy and clean it all up in an area. And when he does it in the spirit, it then manifests in the earth. What do you think he meant? Occupy till I come. It means take territory, take it over. You take it over in the spirit, and it manifests in the earth. These are not days like it's business as normal. There's a great shift going on. There's a great, it's almost like a rift in the tectonic plates, but in the spirit. You know, there's this going on in the spirit. Where kingdom shall rise against kingdom. But I'm telling you, Satan's in big trouble because his kingdom is being shaken and he doesn't know what to do. He's nervous. So he's doing the best he can, right? And those that have been looking at his kingdom think he's winning. He is in such deep trouble right now. Hallelujah. Jesus is going to take such a dominion. He's taking the highlights. Now, I don't know how fast this is going to happen, but I'm telling you, it's going to happen. Jesus is getting ready to reveal more of himself. And I see the church going, oh, all of us, those of us that thought we knew something, those of us that have had some encounters, maybe we've traveled in the spirit, we're going to go, oh, because we're going to see things we have never seen. I'm telling you, if you're paying attention in the realm of the spirit, you're going to see things you have never seen because he has never revealed them before, because it wasn't time. But you see, now it is time. Do you know that there's things that have been hidden from the foundation of the earth? Yeah. Well, you know about some of them because Paul talked about some that were being revealed through the apostles and prophets, right? Remember? He talked about that. But there are some other things that have been hidden on purpose. Because see, Jesus is a shrewd general, right? Some things you don't let be known if you're at war. You just don't let them be known until it's time. And then you go, ta-da. And your enemy's like, poof. Because he never saw it coming. Once again, he never saw it coming. Now, I'm not going to tell you the Bible's still true. We'll still see all that stuff the Bible talks about. So don't think I'm saying we won't. We will. We'll still see all that stuff. But what I'm going to say to you, in the spirit realm, there are a lot of storms happening right now. There's a lot of lightning and thunder. There's a lot of earthquakes. There's a lot of storms. But this is what I want to say. The remnant that says, I'm not interested in the things of this world, and I don't really care that much about my life. I want my life to be hid with Christ in God. That's what I want. And Father, you can just handle all this other stuff. Because we all have stuff that has to be handled, right? You know, we have natural things that have to be dealt with. We can't just float around in the glory. We have to do both, right? You got to pay your bills, got to do your laundry, you know, sooner or later. I mean, if you're like me, you can put it off, but you know, sooner or later, you got to do it. And it's a natural thing. There's natural stuff we have to do. We have jobs, there's work we have to do. But what I'm saying is this. Those that understand the times, those that are able to hear what I'm saying and what the Spirit is saying, I believe all over the world, that say, I'm in, count me in. I don't know how all that other stuff is going to happen, but you know what? That doesn't own me. You own me. All that stuff, that don't own me. What people think, that doesn't own me. What kind of house I live in, that doesn't own me. None of that stuff owns me. You own me, Jesus. And right now, I'm making your kingdom my business. You know, if you look back over your life, you'll remember high points of times you had with Jesus, moments where you made great decisions or something shifted in the spirit for you. Everybody's got them, landmarks, testimonies to Jesus. I was sitting in my chair one day. Now, years ago, I made the decision, Jesus is Lord, and I am not. So that was good. Then I made the decision, I want to spend my life dying to anything that's flesh, anything that was my deal, so that if I could bring forth his deal. Like, I want to crucify my deal for his deal. And we made that deal, and that was good. But there came a day, and I know this came from the Holy Ghost, because I don't think I'm smart enough. And I said, I really don't even care about all of that. I want to live for your glory. I want to live my life in such a way, and I know I don't have the ability in the flesh, but I want to live my life in such a way that you get the glory, praise, and honor. That all attention goes to you, and something shifted. Now let me back up a little. I'm trying to decide how much to tell you. Years ago, I took this course from a Hebrew. Well, I took many courses from a Hebrew university in Jerusalem. You know, online. And one of them was biblical geography. And they talked about the geography of Israel. Now there's two main roads to go through Israel. One just goes straight down through the through, and one goes along the coast. It's called the Way of the Kings. The Way of the Kings. And it's where the merchants went. And even though it was a little further around, it was kind of faster. Plus, you got to meet up with all the ships that were bringing the goods. It was just the way a lot of people went down the coast towards Egypt. If you look at where Abram went, there were many, it was probably before it was called the Way of the Kings, but Abram went down that way a lot. One day I'm sitting in my chair and God says, I'm going to teach you the Way of the Kings. And I'm thinking, what on earth does that mean? What does that mean? The day I said that thing by the Holy Ghost, I don't care. I don't even care about, see, my thing was always I wanted to minister in some way because I wanted to serve him. This was not even that. This was like, take all that and throw it out and say, I don't care how small, how low, how nothing, it doesn't matter. I want to live to bring you glory. Something shifted. And he said, I'm going to teach you the way of the kings. One night I'm sitting in my prayer chair late at night, and I see an angel, and he's standing by a gate, and he said, this is the king's gate. And he said, those that say that, those that are willing to live for his glory and not their own deal, not even their own ministry, not even their own anointing, can come through the king's gate. You see, that was the gate that David went through. He cared more about God's glory than his own. God's trying to give us keys. For some of you, I know this is going to go, whew. But if you can catch this, I'm telling you, God desires for his people. See, because the more you lay down your life, the more your life becomes a container for his life. Because what did it say? The least become the greatest. But you can't pretend. You can't fake it. There's no faking. No fakey. But God's doing something in hearts in this season. There are going to be people, great men of God. Not all of them. There's going to be great men of God who are vastly anointed, who are going to say, you know what, I don't even care about this. I just want to bring you glory. You know, Billy Graham said it once. There were some people trying to take his ministry. Now, I've never understood this concept. But there's such a thing as people who try to actually forcibly take over ministries. It's the weirdest thing ever. How do you think you could do that anyway? You got to have the anointing. Duh. But it's a common thing in the body, believe it or not. And some men came in and they were trying to kind of take over and push him out. It happened to Edgar. Somebody tried to do it to Edgar. That was pretty hilarious. Good luck with that. And Billy went out in his backyard and he laid down. He said, I don't care about any of it, Lord. All I want is you. That was the end of those guys. Sometimes God's just testing your heart. Sometimes God's just seeing what you're made of. Who are you in it for? And all of us have to grow up in these matters. You know, our hearts, you know, we're kind of stinkers. We're born with the, you know, until we're born again, there's some stuff going on in our nature that's a bit Adam-like, you know. Honestly, it's corrupt. We tend to be selfish. And so I'm not going to say this just poof, happens overnight, but over time. It says we're supposed to grow up, grow up, grow up in all things into Him, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It's a journey. It's a continual making of choices. It's a continual process of saying, not my will, but thine be done. Not my dream, but your dream. Have you traded in your dream for His dream? Because if you haven't, your greatest days are ahead of you if you'll make that choice. Do you have something you've wanted more? If I just had that, I'd be so happy. And all your prayers are towards that one thing. Listen, God may give that to you, but it won't make you as happy as if you just throw it over and say, listen, you know what, God, if you want that, that's cool. But if you don't, I'm chucking it over the side. Throwing it over. Whatever you want, man, I'm going to live for what you want. And often He'll, not always, often He'll take that thing, multiply it by 10, and give it back to you. Because it was no longer an idol to you. You understand? It's all about choices. The entire journey from A to the Omega is all about the choices that you make along the way. Most of your trials are about choices. Most of your trials where you're pleading and begging and whining and crying and beefing and moaning and groaning and self-pitying are really about the choices of the heart. Most of them. And when we're in them, if we can see that and say, you know what? Not my will, but thine be done. Suddenly you're out of that trial and you're on your journey again. But oh wait, you can stay stuck there for 20 if you want. And some people do. Stuck for years over a choice. But here's the thing. A lot of people don't know it's a choice. And so they're stuck for years thinking the problem is God or the problem is their spouse or the problem is their finances. Listen, God will give you everything if you will give Him everything. That's the deal. People say, oh, God has promised to give me everything. Well, kind of. But for you to be able to receive, do you ever notice? Now, if we talk about the legal rights in the Bible, we could say God legally has provided all these things. Yes, that's absolutely true. Even to turkeys? Yeah, even to turkeys. But did you ever notice that not everyone can receive them? Try to wrap your mind around it. Did you ever notice that Jesus died, right? He died for everyone to be born again. But not everyone can wrap their head around that. Not everybody wants that. But there are some things, it's so clear, He's legally purchased it for us. But I personally, this is just teleology, which means you can take it or leave it. But after many years of watching this, my opinion is you get the revelation of it through your relationship with Him. How you receive, how you're able to receive has to do with your relationship and your choices. Come on, am I talking to anybody? It's serious. People say, well, why did that guy get that? Why is that person able to receive? Why didn't I receive? It's legally yours as much as it is theirs. God's no respecter of persons, is He? No. When I used to ask these questions, as I was the one not getting it, everybody else was getting it. Hello. You start to ask honest questions, you begin to realize that there are certain choices that have to be made. And I hear Jesus saying, am I Lord or am I just your Savior? Am I just your friend in time of trouble who's going to meet your every need? Or am I Lord? He said to some people, he said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and you won't do the things that I say? Don't call me Lord then. You know? Because here's the good news. As Lord, you get everything he has. As Lord, you qualify for that scripture says all things are yours and you are Christ's and Christ is God's. But if you aren't fully Christ's, those things aren't fully yours. Right? Whatsoever may be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, so will he also reap. Think of your life. Think of what you've sown in your life. Now I'm talking about money. If you ever had something you really wanted more than anything and you sowed that and said, you know what? I'm going to take that up to the graveyard and I'm going to bury it. Lord, giving it to you. If you want it, fine. If you don't want it, I'm done with that. Well, you just sowed something. And make no mistake, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, so will he also reap. Either that thing will be multiplied vastly and given back to you, or something way, 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 way better. And if you will develop a lifestyle of going to the graveyard, hallelujah, and burying the junk and the attitudes and the unforgiveness and the better than thou, come on, the stuff, oh, I wanted it this way. There's someone here you always want to be right in an argument. My eyes are closed. I'm not looking. I'm not pointing. I'm not looking. But you always want to be right, and it just really bugs you, and you'll just keep going back and going back and going back and going back. Drive the person nuts. Stop that. You know what that is? I love you. It's pride. I love you. Jesus is trying to raise up a people. You are the one that once said, I want to be like you. Well, if you want to be like him, here's what happens. Immediately, he is obligated to show you where you're not. Oh, Jesus, I want to be like you. Well, here's a mirror, Holly. Oh. You know, oh, good. Oh, dear. Right? If I had three ears and Jesus has two, one of them needs to go, right? If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. He's not talking about your hand. He's talking about stuff. Idolatry. I know I'm just in your underwear drawer now, but I'm trying to tell you how to come up the mountain. Because anyone can, but there's a whole bunch of gates, and everybody's gates are not the same. Right? I had to come through. I'm giving my whole dream of a ranch to you. Go up to the graveyard. Horses. Buried all the horses. Buried the ranch. Buried it all. You know what one of the things is? Bury the ministry. Bury the idea of ever being used for God. Oh, how can you say it? Because that's a pride thing, isn't it? Yes. Now, not completely, because there's a part of our heart that we want to bless God and we want to be used in order to bless him because he did so much for us. That's not sin. But we have to watch the motives of our heart. And if we can purify our hearts, then just, I just almost want to say by definition, then he adds to us. Because when you get rid of something, now you've created a vacuum. When you get rid of some junk, let's say you make a decision to get rid of that bitterness that you have at a family member. My eyes are still shut. And you make a decision. You've been mad at them for 18 years. They really did you wrong. And you feel justified in your anger because what they did was wrong. Well, that may be correct, but what they did to Jesus was wrong. Wronger than what happened to you. But Jesus made a choice while they were doing it. Because why? Because he loved his Father more. He wasn't just doing it because it was right. He was doing it because he loved his father more than the wrong that was done him, because he was trying to bring home to his father a people to give his father this precious gift that meant so much to his dad. Do you love God enough to give up your bitterness? Do you love the Lord enough to say, yeah, what they did was wrong, but you know what? I love him more than this is worth. The only person that's hurting is you. It doesn't hurt them. You think it's hurting them, but the only person that hurts is you. But it keeps a gate shut in the kingdom. Some people can never get past the gate of bitterness. Won't. It's not that they can't. They won't. Do not let your life end and stand before the Lord. And he says, man, I had so much for you. I had such a calling for you, such grace I had for you, such an anointing I had for you, but you wouldn't go through that gate because you were so busy being mad at those guys. Don't let it happen. Nothing is worth it. Listen, on that day, you're not going to give a rip what anybody did to you. You're not even going to remember it. The only thing you're going to remember is I didn't go through the gates, the choice gates. There's choices to be made all the way up the hill. Even getting through the wilderness to even get to the mountain, there's choices all the way through the wilderness. Why do you think they were in the wilderness for 40 years? It was an 11-day journey. Choices. Complain, complain, complain. Gripe, 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 gripe. Blame God, blame God, blame Moses, blame Moses. Well, God says, I guess we'll go around again, see if they get it this time. No, okay, how about again? Nope, still no, okay, here we go again. He wanted them in, but they wouldn't do it because they had themselves as idols. Okay, now we're in like the second underwear drawer. God showed me, I can't remember if I shared this here or not. God showed me a picture of his beautiful throne. And he showed me a person sitting in him. You know that Jesus said to him who overcomes, I'm going to let him sit with me in my throne as I sat with my Father in his throne. In him we live and move and have our being. You know that there's a place in God for you. Come on, that might be too much for you, but it is Bible. But I saw that and it was just beautiful. But I also saw these other thrones that were facing his thrones, and they were people who had set up their own thrones. Their own dominions. I'm not talking about principalities. I'm talking about people, Christians, believers. And they were saying, oh, Jesus, you're good, you know, but I got my throne. And I saw the legs of their thrones crumbling. They looked like gold thrones, but they were crumbling right in front of me. They were just tipping. And I'm telling you, prophetically, I'm telling you, in this day, if you have your own throne that you have set up, if you are living in your own dominion and you are refusing things to God, if you are living for you and not for him, it will be hard for you this year. 22 and 23 will not be easy for you. But if you come in him, you're going to have a blast. And you're going to live in the blessing of the Lord, and you're going to wonder what all the people are complaining about. What's their problem? This is great. This is awesome. You will not know that there's even trials going on out there. But to those who have gone after their oxen, they're going to have problems. And I'm not trying to be a meanie. I'm just reporting the news, right? I'm giving you the news. This is a 6 o'clock report.
Yeah, the real news.
Trust me when I say you don't want to be married to the world in this day. For years we've skated because of the great grace and mercy of God. It's not that his grace and mercy have ended. It's that we're in a season where certain things have to happen for the sake of the body and the sake of the return of the Lord. They have to happen. And he can no longer let certain things go on. It's not that he doesn't love people. It's not that they're not getting in. But there's certain things they're going to live through that others won't. And you get to pick. You get to pick. God is calling us into a place where we get to sit in his throne with him. Do you know? Now, this is really stretch you. I mean, sometimes God will say something. You'll be like, go on. Show me in the Bible. Go on out of here. But there are times in this upcoming season where some people, I'll say it that way, there'll be people in the remnant who've given it all up for him, and they've come to a place where they have a place on the mountain, and they're living with him and in him, and they're enjoying the fellowship of the Father. And he will let them make the judgment about what goes on in the earth. He will ask them, what do you think about that? What do you think has to happen over there? God started talking to me about this. I thought, you've got to be kidding. You're the only one with wisdom. But see, what he's doing is raising his people up. He talked about people ruling and reigning in this day. We took it to mean heaven. I'm telling you, things aren't the same. There's a huge shift in the earth. Some people have been prophesying it's a new era. I don't even know what that means. But I do believe there's something going on, because this isn't that. This, what we're seeing now, is not how it was last year. We're crossing over a great divide. And people who do not understand the times and are busy feeding their oxen are going to have struggles, and they're going to be calling, you know, at the speed of light, I need help, I need help, I need help, I need help. And we love them, and we love them, and we want to be kind to them. But it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. We can say, listen, I don't care what it takes. I'm coming up that mountain. I don't care what you require of me. I don't care what the current gate choice is. I don't care what you ask me to give up is. Consider it given up. Right? Because I want to go there. I want to be with you. I want to be with you. Listen, there's no safer place. If this country, if there should ever be a war, God forbid, the safest place to be is in him. Then it won't matter where you are. You're safe. It won't matter where you are. I'm telling you, this is the secret place. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He'll be under his wings of protection. There's a place of protection where nobody can get to. There's a place in God where Satan can't come within miles. He can't. He can't come within a certain perimeter of God unless God allows him to. He can't. There's some places in God where Satan can't even come, can't even figure out what happened. Can't see you because you're hidden. Can't hear you. Doesn't know what's going on. Doesn't know who did it to him. Why do you think God gave people tongues? Shokarabasata. He just clobbered one. He didn't even know who did it. I'm telling you, God is raising you up. And I really feel like he brought me here to make it clear that now is it. The time everybody's been talking about for some years. It's happening, it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Okay, boom. Here we are. And God is saying to anyone who will, whosoever will, to whosoever will, it's true that you may be called upon to make some decisions. It's true you may be called upon to do something you kind of maybe didn't want to do in your flesh. But Paul was right. It's all rubbish compared to the glory of God. It's all, you know, Kathy Oates, her husband Gary, was taken up to heaven, had this magnificent experience with God. It changed his life. And she became jealous for the presence. And so for 2 years, she pressed into God because she wanted to have that encounter. 2 years. And after 2 years, she got into the presence and stood before Jesus. And she said when she was in his presence, suddenly she realized her pockets were full of this, like, plastic toys. And when she pulled them out, they were her big things she thought were so important. The things that she thought were such a big deal. They were cheap plastic junk. And she went like this and threw it all away and said, that's garbage, that's rubbish. And she chucked it all. And when she came out of there, God gave her a gift where in any public meeting she can look and see a healing angel standing by somebody. And they say 100% of the time when she sees it, that person is healed. 100, so she can call out the healings just because she sees that angel. What you will get at the throne won't look like what somebody else gets, but what God wants to do is make you so hungry that you say, I'll do what it takes. I'll do what it takes. Whatever it takes, I'll do it to get there, to learn how to live in him, to learn how to walk in him. In him we live and move and have our being. Amen. Amen. God wants to use you as much as anybody in the world. There is no less or greater person. God wants to use all of us. But the ball is in our court, how much we will decide, what we will choose, how far we will go. Okay? All right. Hallelujah.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.